Sheikh Noor's relation to Ramakrishna and Ramana Maharshi. His first teacher, you know, peer was Ramakrishna. So, I mean, you know, chronologically, because I think it was in college, and he received a book from India. I don't know whether he was going to do religious studies, or you might know even better, but he had ordered this book from India called The Gospel of Ramakrishna. And he says when it came in a box, and in those days, of course, India, the way they did things was different, you know, in the way they made books and packed books. And he said just when he opened the box of the book, there was a perfume that came out. And I think that perfume was the fragrance of love, and his heart opened, and I think it was almost a transmission direct from Ramakrishna through the fragrance. You know, we can receive transmissions through anything, really. And so that's how he got it. And then he closed the bag after, I think he probably, I can just almost see him, you know, the way he would take the book out in a very careful and precious way, and probably looked at it, might even have opened it a moment and then put it back and put the whole thing, closed the box, and I think didn't open it till quite a bit later. But, you know, he was deeply touched and opened by that, and Ramakrishna became then the master who was in complete harmony with his own soul, because of course we come, as you, I'm sure, with our soul already in a certain, you know, has a predilection, has a certain tendency, a certain direction, a bias, let's say. And one of his biases was toward universality, and so universality of the traditions and the open field of divine revelation. And so Ramakrishna, of course, was the perfect teacher for that. Yeah, as, you know, and then he wrote his book, Coming Home. And then, of course, later he met Swami Nikalananda and became his disciple for 7 years and learned discipleship, the path of a disciple with Swami Nikalananda, and went very, very deeply into the heart of Ramakrishna that way. Swami Nikalananda was a disciple of the mother. So it's amazing, these chains of transmission, you know, that you can go back to these great saints. And in this particular, in our particular community, we go by transmission. And we have a lineage, just like we have a genetic lineage. We have a spiritual lineage of the heart that is, you know, just as powerful or more powerful. And so connects us back. So it's a kind of timelessness, because the connection makes everything present, brings it to the present. And we are really bathing in the light of people who chronologically lived, of course, that maybe thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, but it feels like they're just present, and of course they are, in a spiritual level. So, and also we feel our path, it's very close to Christianity, you know, the path of Sufism, very, very close, in both in its manner, in its the fragrance, and the love, the simplicity, you know, has... And certainly with Sheikh Noor, as we call him, like Sipson Sheikh Noor, being such a lover of Jesus, as he would call him, Jesus the Master, Jesus the Beloved, then that is an extra, I would say, bond directly through our own teacher. But, you know, of course, many in this country were born into Christianity, and so we're rediscovering the, you know, the basis of you might call it the mother pearl of where all the traditions spring from. But Christianity and Islam are two very, very close, even though it might not appear that way today. But that will be rediscovered by the lovers themselves, the lovers of Jesus, the lovers of Muhammad, peace be upon them both, and of Hazrat Maryam, we call her Hazrat Fatima, alayhi salam. I mean, in fact, that's, I think, one of the very creative fields of today. And I think our brother Bashir, so you, I think you're almost like born into it, to be both Sufi and Christian. And, you know, there's a few, even the so-called theological differences are just few. It's more the way we speak about, and I think in both traditions we can learn to a different kind of language when it comes to speaking about other sacred communities, you know, and learning to include them in our own. And I think that's part of the work of these days, and see where you know, where they join. And of course, because we can say the essence is the same, but it's also interesting to see how they interweave in different ways. So. Yeah, so tonight, and we, before, on Zikr, you will see, we call the name of Jesus among, because our vision is the entire lineage of whom we call the prophets, or the carriers of the word and the carriers of the light of God into the world, and how they have spread, you know. And mostly they have come in a chronological order, but even sometimes they were living contemporaneously, as we know. Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, at a certain time in Judaism, the prophets, you know, well, you had were Saul and David. I mean, they were almost like taking hand with each other. It was almost this thing of carrying the tradition on, anointing the succeeding prophet was or Solomon and David, and I'm sure they're Moses and Aaron. So it's amazing to think of what a richness existed and still exists. That so we like to live in that contemporaneity with all the prophetic beings, and but certainly, as Noor would point out, that somehow the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and the Prophet Jesus, peace be upon him, have opened, it's like they open these latter times. They're both openers of the latter times, you know, where we say that the way back is really simply through love, just like Jesus, alayhi salam, said, the way is through love, and, you know, humbleness and simplicity and non-existence. Maybe that's what the... I think Jesus taught that to his inner disciples. But this has become one of the main teachings of Sufism, is actually where the lover becomes non-existent in the being of the beloved. And then existing again through the beloved. You know, only through the beloved. So this is one of the... maybe it's the path of Sufism, is like existence, non-existence, and then existence again, of the beloved. Yeah, and everything else is celebration. I mean, our zikr, but knowledge also is a very, in fact, the Prophet, peace be upon him, stressed knowledge, and it, you know, one of the Quranic ayats said, is a prayer, really, and it's given to the Prophet, but through the Prophet to all people, saying, "O Lord, increase me in knowledge." And it says, and say, you know, so repeat this, say this, affirm this, ask for this, "O Lord, increase me in knowledge." So, so knowledge is a path, but knowledge leads to bewilderment. So knowledge leads to, not to something where we would think of as sort of like an encyclopedia, but ultimately in the soul of the lover, to bewilderment. So others might call that, you know, the complete extinction of knowledge. I don't know. I'll know when I get there. So it was Hazreti Ali radiallahu an, who was the cousin and inheritor of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his protector and one of his dearest. And Ali was, it was morning prayer, And Ali was on his way to the masjid to join his beloved for morning prayer and the companions. And there was an elder in the path in front of him, an elder man. And so Hazrat Ali, in his beauty of observing, you know, the respect for the elders, did not pass him. He just like hung behind, but inwardly he was like turning because he saw that, you know, the sun was about to rise. He was late already. And when he finally, finally the elder made it to the masjid and Hazrat Ali made it behind him. And then when he arrived at the masjid, he found all the companions were in ruku, which is the position of bowing. And it says that if you arrive, you know, before they've done one rakat, you can just enter the prayer. You haven't lost the prayer. I mean, lost that joining in with whoever is offering the salat. And so, and then he came, and then he entered the position of ruku with everyone, and then everyone rose up. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was leading the prayers. And then they completed the prayer. And then afterwards, Hazrat Ali asked, asked his prophet, and he said, I was late, and this is what happened, and I was so surprised that you were, you know, you had not completed the prayer. And the prophet said, well, it's very strange. He said, I was offering the prayer, and when I first went into ruku, he said, Jibril had me by the neck, and he kept me in this position, he said. And he said, it was only after a long while that he released me, and that's when I came up and completed the prayer. So how lovely that Hazrat Archangel Gabriel, was somehow putting the two together, allowing Ali to come to prayer on time by holding the Prophet in that position. So the main thing is that we be concerned with our own heart and where our own heart is, you know. And then Allah will take care of everything else, truly, of everything else for us. So we don't have to, the way we're educated the opposite, that we have to take care of everything and micromanage the world, and then everything will be okay for us to enter. But it's the opposite. What we have to do is turn to ourself, turn to our heart, cleanse our heart, and keep our heart in zikr and near to Allah. And then things will work out. Things will work out for us. It doesn't mean that we will not go through tests and trials and difficulties. That comes. But that's, you know, part of our transformation, part of the alchemy that's needed for our soul to evolve. Alhamdulillah. Good.